Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving to all of you, family. It is a great day. Our many blessings. It's a good day to do that even outside of the month of November and somewhere even further down the road than the holiday of Thanksgiving. But I hope you'll follow along this morning in Matthew chapter 20, the scripture reading. Have your Bibles open there. We're going to look at this intriguing story, a parable that Jesus told. And I think a parable that touches on the issue of gratitude and the giving of thanks. It is a beautiful day to worship God today, a day that we can be grateful, that we can share with family this week. And I hope each of you truly have a great time with all of your family members. Jesus told this parable about some workers in a vineyard. And I believe that there are many lessons that we can learn from this parable, but I would like for us to consider from this story the issue of being disgruntled in life. The main characters in Jesus' parable here are some disgruntled workers. If you are a business owner, you might think that that is actually a redundant term. I mean, is there any other kind of worker other than a disgruntled worker? A lot of business owners and employees feel that way today when they have that employee-employer relationship. That all employees are terminally unhappy, that they are perpetually disgruntled. And this problem of people being disgruntled is not something that is just limited to the work situation. We have a lot of disgruntled people in life. Maybe you can say, I've been a disgruntled person at a time or two in my life. I mean, the problem of being disgruntled is something that happens to all of us. We have disgruntled spouses. We have disgruntled children. We have disgruntled friends. We may discover this week when we have relatives come over for Thanksgiving that we have some disgruntled relatives. Yes, people are disgruntled in life. And so it applies to many different people in many different situations. All of us have caught ourselves, I'm sure, with this bad attitude at times in our lives. And here's the thing that you need to be remembering this morning and maybe on through life. And that is this, that being disgruntled, being dissatisfied in life is something that is going to drain your energy. It is going to drain your Christianity. It robs you of the joy that God has intended for you to have. It takes away from the abundant life that Jesus promised for you as a child of God. And so the most empowering thing that you can do in life is become gruntled. You see the word gruntled up there? Now, you might think that this word gruntled is actually not a word. But if you have your internet on, I'll let you look at your phone right now. You look up the word gruntled, you will find out that it is actually a word. I didn't make it up. It really is a word. Now, if you think about it, being disgruntled means being dissatisfied, displeased, not happy with your situation. Well, then you can imagine what the word gruntled means. It means to be satisfied. It means to be content, to be happy, to be okay with your situation. It is the opposite of being disgruntled. And since we're surrounded by these kinds of people, these disgruntled people in our lives today, this is something that we must constantly work at as God's children to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, and you can follow along in your sermon outline on the bulletin there. I'm going to encourage you to become a gruntled person. Let that word fall into your vocabulary this morning. I'm going to encourage you to be gruntled. Now, let's take a look at this parable this morning and see if we can find some principles that will help us to get gruntled for the Lord. We begin in chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day." And it says he sent them into his vineyard. Now, a denarius for a day's work wasn't bad pay. These were, in that culture, these were day laborers here. They didn't have regular jobs, so every day they went out into the marketplace hoping that a business owner would hire them for the day. So considering the circumstances, this was actually a good deal. Moving on in the story, look at verse 3 now. It says, "About the third hour, he went out and he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.'" Now see that? He says, "I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" They said, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." Now, there's something that you need to understand about these workers who were hired later in the day. Don't misinterpret this idea. It says where they were standing around. It might seem like they are being lazy, but the thing is, at least they were there making an effort to get hired. They were out there waiting in the workplace, the marketplace, I should say. And they stayed there because they were people who wanted to get hired. Let's read on, verse 8. "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired,'" I like this, "'and going to the first.' Well, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. And so when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius, which they, when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner." Now, one lesson this teaches us, obviously, is a lesson about the grace of God. And we will touch on that just a little bit. This is a lesson about the grace of God. Everyone who comes to Christ for salvation is accepted on the same level. Each of us are given the same salvation. Whether you are an Apostle Paul or whether you are a beggar somewhere on the street, every Christian receives the same salvation, the same promise of eternal life. But there's also a lesson here about attitude in life. We learn some things that we need to remember to keep you and I today from becoming disgruntled. As we look at this story here, there are four attitude adjustments that I want us to look at here. And I believe that if, as a child of God, you make these adjustments in your life, you will notice a big difference in yourself, and you'll begin to notice a difference in others around you and the world in general. So here's the four we're going to look at. And again, this is in your bulletin outline there. And the first one is that we need to... Oh, I guess I didn't read the rest of the story. Well, verses 12 through 15, I skipped that. But we read that earlier. But the first thing I want to talk about is, number one, we need to accept with gratitude whatever God gives us. In this parable, you'll see here, the workers who were hired first agreed for a full day for one denarius, and that was good pay for a day's work. Very simple. And at the end of the day, guess what happened? That just like the owner told them, they got exactly what they were promised. Exactly what they were promised, which was a day's pay for a day's labor. And that should have been, really, the end of the story. But it wasn't, because some other workers, well, you guessed it, they got a better deal than they did. Some only worked 1 hour. Imagine that. You came to work one day, and you worked 12 hours, and at the end of the day, 12 hours worth of pay, here's whatever amount your employer gave you, and then you notice someone who got in at the last hour and worked only one versus your 12 hours, and they're going to get exactly the same thing that you got. That's what's happening here in the story. Now, if this happened to you, I think that you'd be pretty upset as well. But let me tell you something. No matter what you do in life, there is always going to be someone who gets a better deal than you. It's inevitable. It's going to happen in your life. Someone's going to come along and they're going to get a better deal than you. Someone who does less work than you do and they get the same pay. Someone who has a better, maybe better working conditions than you have on the job. Someone who hardly breaks a sweat and they get a better paycheck. That's going to happen in life. I could tell you about the situation in my wife's life. I'm going to use her as an example this morning. She was working very hard, if not harder than the others around her many years ago, and she got exactly this, or they got twice the pay that she got. I remember this, twice the pay. It was hard for me to stomach. She was sort of okay with it, not really, but I mean, they're getting twice the pay doing the exact same job. This again goes beyond the workplace, because as we consider life in general, life is filled with situations that are unfair. People who are getting the bigger end of the stick than you are, that's going to happen when you begin to compare yourself with others. And we'll talk about that. Well, we'll talk about that right now. It's probably better, I think, that in life you don't know what others are getting. Because if you're in a situation where you're getting X amount of pay and you don't know what others are getting, you're probably just going to figure that's the way it is, that's normal, all that. But when you then begin to get something and see that someone else is doing less or the same as you, and they're getting a lot more, boy, that really is something that can get you upset. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you've heard the expression, ignorance is bliss. It's better that you don't know. The problem is that we end up comparing ourselves with others. And what does the Bible say? Look at this passage. Paul says we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They are what? They're not wise. See, God says that's a dumb thing to do. It's not good. It's not wise when you compare yourself with others. You're going to look around and you're going to be upset because someone's getting something better. If we compare ourselves with others, there will always be someone out there who is getting a better deal. We'll end up becoming what? Disgruntled. So we need to approach our jobs, our situations, our blessings, with some wonder and some sense of appreciation. That when you get something, and God is the giver of all good and perfect gifts, so you're getting something from God, you truly appreciate that apart from, exclusive from anything else that's going on in the world. You appreciate it from the hand of God. Just be grateful for your situation. Let me share with you something I found out just this week about gratitude. And these are these guys that are real smart that figure these things about the brain and these neurosurgeons and neuroscience. Neuroscience shows that when you are a person, they did all these studies, that when you're a person of gratitude and when you're thankful, there are certain neutrons that charge the brain, that rewire your brain to make you a happy and pleasant person who, by the way, usually lives longer in life as well versus someone who is disgruntled or someone who is not happy about life, not having an attitude of gratitude. So just be grateful for the situation that you have. That seems hard to do when others have things better, but the last time I checked, I read my Bible and it says that God is working all things together for the good, for those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to His purpose, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. God says, you're getting something, others are getting other things, and don't worry what others are getting. God's working all your stuff together for the good, for you, for your good, and for His glory. Your job is to love Him. Your job is to be the called according to His purpose. God's going to work out all the details. That's what we have as a promise in God's Word. God says that He has plans for you, plans for evil and not for good, to give you what? A future and a hope. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. So be grateful for the situation you have, what God has given you. He'll work all things together for the good. So that's our first point. Accept with gratitude what God gives. Point number two. Focus on your work and not the work of others. As you look at the story here, the workers who were hired first became disgruntled because, as we've seen, they weren't happy with the deal that the other workers were given. And this actually revealed an attitude that they had toward not the other worker, but the attitude they had toward their employer. They didn't like the way that the employer was running his business. I guess they figured that they know who he should hire, when he should hire them, how much he should pay them. They were really stepping into the shoes of the boss, making a big mistake. They forgot a very important truth that many workers forget today, and that is that the boss is the boss, and you're not the boss. And he can run his business any way he wants to. If you're working for a company, I can guarantee you this, that from time to time, your boss is going to make some decisions that you don't agree with. Oh yes, even that happens with our very perfect elders here. They may do something that I say, that's not exactly the way I would have done it. I can say it for the most part that doesn't happen, but I'm not going to say it never happened. That would make them perfect, right? So your boss is going to make some decisions that you're not going to agree with. He or she may hire some people that you think should not be hired. He or she, your boss, may implement some procedures that you think, quite frankly, are a waste of time. Hopefully you'll remember who the boss is and who the employee is, and you'll remember who gets to make the decisions. Those in charge get to make the decisions. And guess who's in charge of this planet? Guess who's the great boss? That's right, God. And He's going to do some things in your life that you're not going to agree with. And remember, Bob Havers, what it says in Psalm 115 and verse 3, God is in heaven and He does whatever He pleases. And He doesn't check with you. He does listen to your prayers, but bottom line, He's running this planet. He's going to do it in ways that you'll say, I don't know if I would have done it that way. In fact, I would have repaid my enemies when God didn't repay my enemies, right? But God's running things on planet Earth. And this is also true on an individual basis, that God is running your life. Now, of course, I know that you think you're running your life. You see, we make this mistake until we realize that things are not going the way that we planned for them to go. And when that happens, we remind ourselves that God is in control. And then sometimes we end up becoming disgruntled because we don't like the way He's doing things. Because others are getting a better deal and we feel like we're getting shorted. Well, you've got to do the work that God gives you to do and then let Him run the planet and let people do whatever work they are doing. God is running things His way and He doesn't have to answer to me. He doesn't have to answer to you. I just need to focus on the work that He's given me to do and then let Him divvy out the rewards as He sees fit. Galatians chapter 6, look at the verse with me. In verse 4 it says, each one should examine his own work, then he can rejoice in what he has done without what? Without complaining, or without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. You know, you should care about the loads of others. You should be concerned. You should want to help somebody. The bottom line is, you need to carry your own load. And don't worry about the fact that someone else's load is lighter than yours. Do the work that God has given you to do. Now let's go to point number three. Point number three, refuse to begrudge another person's blessing. The workers who were hired here first in the parable got a pretty good deal. As I said before, they received a day's wage for a day's labor. And that was certainly better than not being hired at all. Them getting half a day's pay. They got a full day's pay for a full day's work. Something else to consider here is that this was a one-time event. The landowner more than likely didn't do business like this every single day. If he did, word would get out, and guess what would happen? People would say, hey, that's the guy that if you worked for the last hour, go over there and work for him. He wouldn't get workers to get hired early on in the day, right? They'd wait till the last hour and get a full day's pay. So I'm sure he didn't run his business like this all the time. So the ones hired the last hour just happened to benefit from the employer's generosity. That's just the way that it goes sometimes. Someone gets a blessing and you don't. Your boss or someone else decides to be generous to someone else and you feel like, whoa, I should have been the recipient of that generosity as well. Someone is on the receiving end of generosity and you're not. And when that happens, here's how to respond. Be glad for them. It's that simple. Be happy for them. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15? Rejoice with those who rejoice. It even goes on to say, don't be high-minded and be haughty and think more of yourself. When someone does get something that's happy and they get blessed and you don't get blessed, be happy for them. Did you notice there at the end, the question that he asked the folks there, the ones who were bitter about this whole thing, he says, are you envious because I am generous? Can I ask you that question this morning, Christian? Have you ever been envious of someone else because God was generous toward them but not toward you? Oh, try to swallow that pill this week during Thanksgiving. Try to see other relatives that come over and say, boy, they're living in sin and they're enjoying all these blessings from God and I'm not getting blessed. Be happy for them. Rejoice with them. It's not every day that a blessing like this comes along, even if it's not yours and it belongs to someone else. And when it does belong to someone else, let them enjoy it. Don't begrudge them. I got to use my wife again. She's not going to like this, but I'll get a beating when I get home. But Razzle worked as a waitress many, many years ago. Our kids were little tiny toddlers in the house. She was working as a waitress in a Chinese restaurant. And the rule was that as a waitress, everybody had to throw their tips into this little jar. And at the end of the day, they split it up evenly. I never understood how that worked because, you know, you're working different shifts, different hours, and some of the, you know, the day it's a little bit more traffic and there's more tips and other times, you know. So I don't know how they worked all that out, but there was one exception, though, to that rule of split the tips at the end of the day. And that is, and I always enjoyed this, that if you were that great waitress, as Razzle always was, and you were serving tables, and someone at the table just slipped something in your apron, well, you didn't have to say anything about that. You would get more, and that was great. It was yours exclusively. And I have a feeling that the other workers that probably saw them do that with Razzle, then they gave him the extra tip, slipped it into her apron. I have a feeling that they didn't like that at all. They may have wanted her to split the tip. And guess what? She did. 50-50 with me. So it was okay. But sometimes others are going to get an extra blessing and you're not going to get that blessing. And it doesn't happen every day, so just be happy for them. Let them enjoy it. Now, here's another thing to think about. Begrudging the blessings of others will not increase the number of blessings that you will get. It's not going to change that, nor will it diminish their blessing. It just makes you miserable. So stop being miserable. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Being unhappy about their blessing is not going to get you a blessing. In reality, it will cause you to not see the blessings that you do have. Our last point this morning, number 4. Position yourself for possibilities no matter what happens. As you look at the story here, the day laborers in our parable were the low-class workers of society. They didn't have regular jobs, and each day they were dependent upon landowners to hire them to work for one day at a time. And many of them went into the marketplace early, and they were not hired, and they had to wait all day long. So what they did was, they first of all wait a few hours. Now some of them would go home. Others, they're not lazy in the story. They were patiently waiting, hoping that they would still get hired. They continued to wait in the marketplace. They would wait all day long if it was necessary. They were simply waiting for any possibility to get hired. That's what you see in the story. In life, you need to keep yourself positioned for the possibilities that God may have for you. You may get an ordinary opportunity like the first workers got in the story. You may have to wait longer, and it turns out to be an extraordinary opportunity as it was with the last few workers. But if you give up and you quit, you might actually close the door on the good things that God has in store for you. You wouldn't want to do that, would you? Not at all. So make sure you're in a position where God can bless you. Look at this story here in Luke chapter 5. Remember the disciples? Jesus is going to call the disciples to follow him. They're fishermen. And Jesus goes there and it says, Jesus said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered and he said, Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But here's the good thing. Simon says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And it's a good thing that he did, right? Because you know what happened. They had a great catch because Peter had positioned himself to receive a blessing from God. So stay in the marketplace. Keep the door open for God's blessings. Keep yourself available in case God calls you, maybe even in the 11th hour. The ones hired in the last hour could have been disgruntled, could have walked away like the first workers, but they kept themselves positioned for the possibilities, whatever they might be. Now as we close this morning, some of you are the first group of workers in this parable right here. You're the hard workers. You're the dedicated ones. Nothing ever comes easy for you at all. You have to work for everything you get, and you don't ever seem to get any breaks in life. Sometimes you see others that have it so easy, and every once in a while, it makes you mad that others get the same thing that you get, and you work so much harder. And if this happens too often, you can become, well, a little grumpy. Maybe even disgruntled. Be careful that that doesn't happen to you. You might have the feeling initially, but don't let that settle in too long. Get over it. Look to God. Do the things we've talked about this morning. I'm asking you this morning, as a child of God, will you get gruntled for the Lord? Accept with gratitude whatever God gives you. Focus on your work and not the work of others. And refuse to begrudge the blessings of others. And then keep yourself positioned for whatever possibilities that are open that God will bring into your life. Really, take what God gives you and go your way rejoicing, not complaining that others have it better. You know, life is not always fair. And can I tell you something you need to know this morning as you walk away? When I say life is not always fair, I have to tell you that's actually a good thing. Because if life was fair, it'd be this horrid sinner right here on the cross and not Jesus Christ. If life was fair, you'd be on the cross and not Christ. But Christ, the sinless, the only sinless person, died and He gave His life for you. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God is not fair, but He is merciful and compassionate. And in His grace, Jesus took my place on the cross and He died for me. 35 years ago, I put my faith in Him. I confessed Jesus as God's Son. I made that decision to repent of my sins and then be buried with Christ in baptism. Those sins were washed away. And now, I'm one of the most gruntled people you will know. I'm gruntled and grateful for all that Jesus did for me. This morning, if you've not come to Christ, we're inviting you to do that today. Put Him on in baptism. Put a smile on your face that will last all the way into eternity. And if you're a child of God that's drifted away, again, you need to be gruntled once again and come to the Lord now and return to Him as we stand to sing our invitation song.